you all please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter. We are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, they say a picture says 1,000 words, so hopefully what I say is at least as good as the picture behind me at expressing what the scripture is about. I love this picture. I found it several years ago online when I was looking for something, getting ready for a Christmas program. In the picture, you see Mary. She's young, maybe 14 years old, and she's full of joy, rejoicing to God. She's rejoicing that God is with her. She is rejoicing because she knows God loves her. And she is rejoicing because she knows God has called her to do something important, not just for her relationship with God, but for all humanity. And you know what? She can be all of us. Because like her, God is with us. Like her, God loves us. And like her, God has called each and every one of us. Mary had a unique role in the salvation story. She was going to do something that no one else had ever done before or since. But the important thing to remember is the joy that she found is not something that we just read about a young girl singing 2,000 years ago. It is something that we ourselves can experience as well. God is seeking to turn the world around through a relationship with each and every one of us, through changing the broken and the sinful systems of this world, through teaching us to love each other. And the child that she carried as she sang that song of joy came to, through his life and teachings, through his death and resurrection, to show us that we could all have joy. But on this third Sunday of Advent, where we light the pink candle, where we talk about joy, where some of us at least out there are wearing pink. I've got a pink tie under this, I swear, but it's really hard to dig out underneath the robe. We need to remember what joy really is, and we need to remember what joy is not. And if we remember what joy truly is, we can feel some of the true joy that we have through Jesus Christ. Joy is not happiness. Happiness is temporary. Joy is a state of being. Happiness comes from individual things, from individual actions and events in our lives. Joy is something that God offers that can be with us each and every day. Now, happiness isn't bad. Happiness is wonderful. There are many things that make us happy. For instance, this time of year, those little white chocolate truffles from Lindt, you know, that melt in your mouth. Oh my gosh, do those make me happy. They don't last very long, but boy, do I feel happy. I feel happy when I drive around my neighborhood and I see the blue lights on some of the evergreen trees and on the bushes around, particularly when there was a little bit of snow on top of some of them. I think that's just such a beautiful thing, and that makes me feel happy. I felt happy this past Thursday when I was over at Coffee with Pastor Jeremiah at the coffee shop, and there was a little girl, not quite two, who was just playing and having the time of her life with the dominoes that they have there at the coffee shop. And all of these things are something to say, thank you, God. Thank you for this blessing. Are there some things that make you happy? And seriously, I want to hear them. What are some things that make you happy? Call them out. Really? Man, that just makes me sad. No. Shirley.
Family.
Anyone else? Support for the food bank. Seeing their 93rd year of life. This morning at the 8 o'clock service, people called out grandchildren and music and so many other things. I hope there's a lot of things in your life that make you happy. And we should be happy for these things, but we all know that happiness doesn't last forever. Eventually, the candy melts in your mouth and it's gone. And you really shouldn't just keep popping more candies in your mouth to keep the feeling going, though it can be very tempting. Anyway, there are things in my life that don't make me happy. When I have to go to the dentist and get a couple of Novocaine shots and get some work done, that does not make me happy. That may be something some of you also doesn't make you happy when it happens. Much more seriously, if a friend loses a loved one who they care about deeply, or if a friend is going through a difficult time, we grieve with them. We are sorry for them. We are not happy. We simply try to be a source of support in their time of difficulty. When we see someone taken advantage of, when we see someone hurt, when we get mad about the cruelty that some of our friends experience, we are not happy. We're angry, and we should be angry. And when there's disappointment in life, when we suffer job loss, when we get a really bad grade on a test and we're not sure if we're going to pass this year, when we're not sure about our future, then we feel sad, we feel worried, we feel concerned, we are not happy. And that's okay, because not everything that happens in life is happy. But you see, joy is something deeper than happiness. Joy is there to give us the strength to continue, even when a day is not happy. Joy is knowing that God loves us, that God offers us forgiveness, and that through Jesus Christ, we and all of existence is being restored and remade. Joy is a state of being that'll give you strength in the midst of the ups and the downs, the fun and the pain of life. You know, we light the candle of joy on the third Sunday of Advent, but those first two candles, the candle of hope and the candle of love, are very much tied to joy. God loves us more than we can ever imagine. That can give us hope. We know that God not only loves us, but God loves the whole world and is transforming the world. And that love and that hope can give us the joy that we need to go through life day by day. Mary was maybe 14 years old. In our time, she would have been considered very much a girl, though in those days it was not uncommon for a woman of her age to be engaged or married already. But no matter her age, she is such an example of faith in God. God asked her to do something that was going to put her reputation at risk, that might well put her very life at risk. But she trusted God. And she said yes. And she believed that God would give her whatever it was that she would need to do what God called of her. God was going to give her the strength. So not long after she said yes to God, after the child who would offer hope to all the world had started to grow within her, we find her visiting her relative Elizabeth. We don't really know. Maybe Elizabeth was an aunt or an older cousin. But as these two women greeted each other, maybe on top of a hillside somewhere in Judah, they were both full of joy. Now, Elizabeth had her own joy. She had thought she would never have the opportunity to be a mother. She had already reached an age where it was not expected she would ever be able to be a mother. And yet, through a miracle, God had said, "You and your husband will have a son, and he will be a very important person." And she was full of joy for that. But she wasn't just joyful for what God was doing for her. She was joyful because when she greeted Mary, she knew that God was doing something for all of the world. And so here's this woman past the age that she expected to be a mother, and here's this young woman greeting each other. And when Mary hears Elizabeth's joy, she bursts into song. She's got the enthusiasm of a teenager, or at least the enthusiasm that sometimes teenagers have. And Mary sings for joy about all that God is doing. So what do we have to be joyful about because of what God is doing through Jesus? Well, I don't have time to say all the things in one sermon because you all don't want to be here till 7 o'clock tonight or whenever it was I'd get done. But I ask you to think about two things that can give us joy today. Two things that Mary sang about in her song of praise to God. First off, God loves us. And not only does God love us, God offers us purpose. To go through life with a sense that life is meaningless, that there is no purpose, is one of the most difficult and painful things a human being can endure. To go through life and to not think that we have any purpose can kill us emotionally, spiritually, physically. But God says, no. Everyone has purpose. It does not matter who you are. It does not matter your gifts. It does not matter your background. I love you and I offer you purpose and a part to play in the recreation of the world. Mary, this young woman who was singing to God, was a woman of no great name or wealth. She wasn't from a prominent family. She was a member of an oppressed minority under the thumb of the Roman Empire, one of the most brutal and oppressive empires in the history of the world. And yet, despite the fact that it would have seemed like she was meaningless and unimportant, she knew that through her, God was doing something amazing. And the same is true for all of us. Each and every one of us is invited to some sort of purpose, something that can change someone's life or maybe change many lives if we let the love of God known to us through Jesus Christ guide our lives. We are all beings of amazing worth and beings of great purpose. And the second thing that Mary sung about is that God is changing our world. You know what? Mary lived in a world that had problems, a lot of problems. Just in her little part of the world, there was violence, there was corruption, there was tyranny, there was slavery. Most people had no human rights that the government had to respect. Soldiers and officials could do whatever they wanted to most people. And there was corruption by some of the religious authorities who took advantage of the desperate and the sad people who are seeking to find comfort in God. And you know what? A lot of those problems still exist. Sure, the details are different from Judah 2,000 years ago, but the themes are the same. There are still tyrants. There is still injustice. There are still people suffering. There are still people who are taking advantage of the lowly, to use the word that Mary used in her song. But here's the thing. God cares about the brokenness, and God will not let it stand. If you look at the scriptures, it's story after story about how God says, I will not let this stand. God delivered Mary's people, the Israelites, from slavery in Egypt. God commanded that the widows and the orphans, the immigrant and the poor, should be treated with love. God demands that judges rule with fairness and that there never be dishonesty or bribery amongst the people of God. The Bible is full of reminders that God is not going to just let the brokenness of this world stand. It's not just about saying, I believe in God. It's about how are all of us going to work to improve the world around us. There are some days that I don't feel very happy when I pick up, well, I don't pick up the morning paper. I pick up my phone and look at the morning headlines. That may be how some of you read the paper too. But I know that despite the brokenness that I see around me, God will not let this stand. I know God will act. When Mary's boy Jesus grew up, he gave us the direction of what we are to do. He said we are to love God. He said we are to break the cycle of vengeance that we see in this world. He said that we must work to end the corruption and the taking advantage of people. And God has always called people who follow Jesus to address the brokenness and the problems in our society, in our families, in our community, in our world. Look at the history of Christianity. Christians helped end things like slavery. Christians worked to make sure people had the right to vote and safer working conditions to work in. God to this day is working to end the brokenness in our society. If there is a system that is hurting people, God does not want it to stand. That is part of the reason why God came through Jesus Christ, God's words in the flesh, to remind us that we all have purpose and that God is remaking our world. God cares about all of us, and God is at work. And God invites us to be part of this important work. So I hope and I pray today and in the week ahead you feel some joy. You feel joy because you are loved by God more than you can ever possibly imagine. God is seeking a relationship with you that can completely transform your life through following Jesus Christ. And God is also seeking to transform our world and to make it be the place that it should be. Joy is so much more than happiness. You may be unhappy today, and if you are, that's okay. There's a lot of real and legitimate reasons for unhappiness. But please know that God loves you, and God offers you purpose, and God offers you joy. And that joy can give us strength to face tomorrow. I pray we feel that love, that hope, that joy, And may we please share that joy with a world that needs to know about it. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.